pastor in the congregation of Harpeth Baptist Church in Kingston Springs, Tennessee, would like to welcome you to today's podcast. Remember, you can always find out more about Harpeth Baptist Church online at harpethbaptist.org. Let's join Pastor Chance Strickland for today's message.
Let's read together in Psalm 119. Verse number 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. Verse number 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Verse number 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Skip ahead a couple pages to verse number 89. Verse number 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. One of the most comforting verses in all of the Bible is the one that tells us that forever the Bible is settled in heaven. It can't be changed. It can't be moved. It's not going away. It's going to be here. Amen. Verse number 103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste. Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Verse number 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Verse number 113, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Verse number 127, therefore do I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Verse 133, order my steps in thy word. Skip ahead to verse 152. Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. Verse number 160, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Now, those are the selections I want to read to you this morning from Psalm 119. What a wonderful passage. If you can find it in your time today or this week to read through all 176 verses, you'll find that every verse in Psalm 119 has something good to say about the Word of God and its importance in our life. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. So this month we're focused on some things we need to get back to. We started with get back to school, and hopefully you're all shouting the victory because your children are back to school and they're not home anymore. Miss Shanae told me this week that she said it didn't take me long. The whole house was clean just all of a sudden, and it stayed that way all day long. So it's amazing when there are not three little boys running around the house, which we still have Thomas running around the house, and he can walk now, and he loves to show us things in the house we didn't know were there. He'll bring them to you, just anything he can find. He said, look at this. And then he just, after he shows you, he leaves it right there and he goes and finds you something else. So it's a little hard, but back to school, that's very important. We talked about getting back to some biblical wisdom. Last week we talked about getting back to worship and how important it is that we pray the Word and read the Word and sing the Word and preach the Word. We focus on doing that around here and worshiping God together. Not just praise. Praising God's important too, but true biblical worship together. What a wonderful thing that is. And today I want to encourage you to get back into the Word. Hopefully, you're daily in the Word of God. But a lot of times, even when you are daily in the Word of God, it can become something that's just a habit in your life. Do you ever get to where you're not tasting your food? You eat and you don't remember what it is you've had. You just go through the habit of that. I don't ever get that way, but I'm wondering if you do. If we're not careful, we get that way with the Word of God. And I don't want you to be that way. I want you to love the Word of God. The psalmist wrote this morning that your word's more precious to me than gold. Yea, than fine gold. Can you imagine that? Thinking that what you hold in your hand is more precious than having money in the bank or blocks of gold buried in your backyard somewhere. Anybody got blocks of gold buried in your backyard? You wouldn't tell if you did, would you? That's what I hear. I hear that about him. The psalmist also said it's sweeter than honey to my lips. There's nothing any sweeter. I mean, you can eat a lot of things, but there's nothing sweeter than honey to your mouth. It's almost as if the psalmist was saying, I could just... And Needham obviously didn't have words of the pages of the Bible, but I could just take these and put them up to my mouth and be sweeter than that. And we know that's not what he meant literally, but you imagine reading these and there being nothing sweeter that comes into you. I want you to leave here today with that desire for the Word of God within you. Think back to when you were first saved. I preached this week over in Kingsport, Tennessee, and a young man got up who had just gotten saved, and you could see the scars of the world all over him. And he got up with his guitar, and he said, I know I don't look like the rest of you folks, and he didn't, but he was just happy to be there. And we loved him. We didn't care what he looked like, right? And we're just glad he was there. And he got up with his guitar, and he said, I know I don't look like the rest of you guys. And he said, I was out in sin. And then he got this funny little grin on his face. And he said, but the Lord saved me February the 19th. Amen. And he was so excited that he'd gotten saved and his life had been changed. And I thought, I remember when I used to have that grin, that same grin that guy had. And you did too when you first got saved. If you'll think back when you were just ignorant to the things of religion, we've all gotten very religious now. But there was a time in your life when you were just happy that your sins were forgiven and that you were going to heaven someday. And you couldn't wait to tell somebody about it. And that's how that guy was. And during those same times in our lives, we were giddy about the Scripture. We started reading through and the Holy Spirit guided our eyes to show us what the Bible really says. And before that time, we'd read through and say, well, I don't understand it. Or I don't get it. Or it doesn't make any sense to me. When I was a child, Dad used to say, have you read your Bible today? And I used to mumble under my breath. Well, I looked at the pages, but I didn't know what it meant. I didn't know what it meant because I wasn't saved. I had no clue, but that day that I got saved, it was like a switch went off in my head, and the words of Scripture started popping off and speaking to me, and it was a wonderful thing. I want you to leave today with a passion and a desire for it to be that way for you again, and I want to use Psalm 119 to help us with that. There's no better passage to encourage us to get back to the Word than Psalm 119. Psalm 119 has the most inductive information in the Bible about the Bible. Now, those of you who understand proof, a lot of times when you're trying to make proof for something, you're not supposed to use that very thing as your evidence. You have to use outside sources as your evidence. The one thing in the world that we can use as proof of itself is the Word of God. And the reason we can do that is because we believe the Word of God in faith. And we know the Word of God was inspired by Almighty God. It wasn't man's thoughts. It's God's thoughts put down on paper through man. We believe that. We believe the Word of God is inerrant. It is without error. You say, well, my Bible's misprinted. Well, then the printers made an error, but Almighty God did not make an error in the Word of Scripture. And we believe the Word of God is infallible. It's never going away. It's never going to mess up. It's never going to lead you wrong. The Word of God is infallible. And when we believe those things, then we can come to Scripture for our evidence of Scripture. What a wonderful place that is to be in. All 176 verses contain information about the Bible. In 119 here, we see many reasons to get back to the Bible. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. Hopefully, just in the passages we read, you're very familiar with many of them. Maybe you're familiar with all of them. Maybe you're familiar with just a few of them. We read verse number 1 that told us that those who walk in the Word are blessed. Do you want your life to be blessed? The Bible tells you plainly how to have a blessed life, how to live a blessed life. It's to walk in the Word. Verse 9 says that we can cleanse our way with the Word. There's days when I need to cleanse my way, cleanse my heart, cleanse my mind, get right with God. We do that through the Word of God. Verse 11 that we read instructs us to hide Bible verses in our hearts to keep us from sin. It's so important that we hide Bible in our heart, that you have it to bring to your lips at just a moment's notice, that you don't have to fumble through the Bible and say, where was that verse I was wanting to know? That you have it right here in your mind, filed away, that you can pull forward and use. And I commend you to hide the Word of God in your heart. Verse 89 states that the Word of God is settled forever in heaven. And I hope that's a comfort to you. Verse 103 says that the words of the Bible are sweeter than honey. Verse 105 states that the Bible is a guide, like a light on a dark path. You ever been on a dark path and your flashlight went out? That's never good, is it? You either need a guide or you need a light some way. When I was a kid, I used to hate taking out the trash at night. I would scream really loud and I would run really fast. I would go out the back door and I'd close it so Mom and Dad couldn't hear me, and I'd get that bag of trash and I'd be on the back porch and I'd check both ways and I'd see the trash can down by the street and I would go, really fast, all the way out to the trash can. I'd throw it in there and I'd scream all the way back. And I figured if there's anything out there that was going to scare me, I was going to scare it first and get back in that house. Anybody else right there with me? Am I the only one? Okay, a few of you. I was the only fraidy cat here this morning. Now, school, I was tough. I was a tough guy, but at home I was scared, you know. I was faking it at school. But the Word of God is a lamp to our feet and a light into our path. Verse number 113, it contrasts the vain thoughts that we have sometimes with the words of the Bible. Verse number 114 gives the Word as our hope. Verse 133 explains that the Bible will order our steps. You say, preacher, I'm praying about the will of God for my life. Right here. The Word of God will order your steps. Be in the Word, and God will reveal His will to you through the Word. In fact, if you figure out something you think is God's will for your life and it's not in the Word, it may not be God's will for your life. Work within the Word. Verse 152 tells us that the Word has been forever. In our human minds, we can't comprehend forever, hardly. I mean, we try to come up with... You ever tried to explain forever to a group of people or to a child? You know what you use to explain forever? measures of time. What's the problem with that? There are no measures of time with forever. You ever thought of that? We can't describe forever because we don't know forever. We can't understand forever. Forever. That word has been forever. It always has been and it always will be. I try to tell you that, but what did I just use? I used state of being, which is a measure of time. So I really don't even understand it as I preach it to here this morning. That's how long the Word of God has been. I like that. I like old things that have always been around. I like good things that will always will be. I like that. You notice how some things in our society have kind of gone away lately? When's the last time you saw a Blockbuster video store? There used to be one in every little town on every corner. They're not anymore. And I can't think of any more right now, but there are brands that have just disappeared right off the face of the earth. Some things aren't always going to be. But even as men have tried to burn and destroy and throw out the Word of God, here it is in our hands this morning. There's one in every pew. You all toted one in here with you this morning. You've got them at home. You probably have one in your desk at work. Every hotel room in America has the Bible sitting in that hotel room. The Bible is here and it's always going to be. Praise the Lord for the Bible. Verse 160 defends the Word, especially in its beginnings. Many would say Genesis is not literal. It's not a narrative. It's just philosophical, or that it's poetic. That's not what the psalmist believed in Psalm 119, verse 160. It's literal. It defends the Word in its beginnings. And we just read 10 of the most prominent verses in 119. There are many more. And they're all good. Probably in your Bible, each section is divided up into a group of verses with a Hebrew letter over the top. Is y'all that way? Got that? Wonderful. Should study out what that letter means and the group of verses that are under it. There's so much in Psalm 119. It's a wonderful book. I want you to look with me at three things this morning about the importance of being devoted to Scripture. And ask yourself, how is my devotion to Scripture? First, I want to answer the question, why is the Bible useful? You've bragged on it here for 10 minutes. Why? Why is it so useful? What's it going to do for me? A man named Donald Wilson, he outlined Psalm 119. It's a wonderful outline that he gave us. I can outline passages. I do it every week for my job where I preach, you know. And I usually pick, 5 to 10 verses, and I make an outline of those verses. In school, they'd make us outline an entire chapter. In one class, they made us outline an entire book. And the professor got up and he said, "You're going to have to do 1 Corinthians." And I said, "There's no way in the world I can outline 1 Corinthians all at one time just like that." Well, he didn't really make us do that. He let us pick a short one. I got Jude. I was happy to outline the book of Jude, the entire book of Jude. But this guy wrote an outline of Psalm 119. I thought, well, you wasted used a lot of years of your life trying to outline Psalm 119. But through his outline, he very much answered, why is the Bible useful? And I want to share that with you this morning with the thought of why is the Bible useful. I'm going to begin by giving you his sections of Scripture, but I'll stop as we get going just to kind of get you the idea. But it'd take forever if I gave you all the sections of Scripture. But he said for verse 1 through 8, the Word of God blesses us. Why is the Bible useful? The Word of God blesses us. Verse 9 through 16, the Word of God cleanses us. Verse 17 through 24, the Word of God reveals wondrous things. The Word of God, in the next section, he said the Word of God revives us. Then he said the Word of God teaches us. The Word of God saves us. The Word of God gives us hope. The Word of God reveals mercy. The Word of God helps in affliction. The Word of God gives comfort. The Word of God mends in persecution. The Word of God is eternal. The Word of God gives us wisdom. The Word of God is light. The Word of God brings us godly fear. The Word of God is vindicated. The Word of God gives us light. The Word of God is righteous. The Word of God is to be obeyed. The Word of God revives us. The Word of God brings awe. And the Word of God is our delight, is his title for 169 through 176. And in this outline of Psalm 119's 176 verses, we get 22 good, solid reasons, great reasons, why the Bible is useful. So why do I need it? How is it useful in my life? There are your reasons. Someone once said, other books were given for our information. The Bible was given for our transformation. And I say amen to that. Thankful to have a piece of literature. It's really not even a piece of literature in my hand. It wasn't just for my information. It is for our information as well. There's history in here. There's poetry in here. There's self-help in here. Funny thing about the self-help in the Bible, you don't have to do it alone. Based off the author's words, Holy Spirit helps you with the self-help that's in the Bible. Wonderful book that you have here in your hands. Given for our transformation. Second thing I'd like to bring to you this morning is the question of what does the Bible reward? It's almost as if I'm making a sales pitch to you here this morning for Scripture, and it needs no sales pitch. But the second thing you would ask me, when you ask me, why do I need this? How can I use this thing? You know, can you imagine me up here selling you some gadgets? Well, some of that cleaning stuff they sell on TV. You know, that guy talks really fast. OxyClean. Everybody needs OxyClean. I'm up here this morning telling you everybody needs the Bible. Amen. And when I ask you that, though, not only do you want to know how can I use it, you want to know what can it do for me? What is its reward? The Bible is not only useful, it is also a reward to the reader. I want to show you what our writer here in 119 said that it did for him. Now, I don't know that David wrote Psalm 119. It doesn't seem like he did, but I don't know who did write Psalm 119. So I'm just referring to him as our writer or the author of Psalm 119. But he showed us in each verse here that we read what the Word of God does for him. In verse number 1, he told us that because of the Word of God, I'm blessed. We all want that. Jabez prayed that way. Lord, I pray that you would bless me indeed. We want to be blessed people. And we are blessed people. And this author here writes that it's because of the Word of God that he is blessed. In verse number 9, he said, because of the Word of God, he is cleansed. In verse 11, it says he is guarded from sin. In verse number 20, he says, because of the Word of God, his soul is satisfied. In verse 20 and also in 154, he says, because of the Word of God, I am revived. Verse 28, he says, I am strengthened. He goes on to say that because of the Word of God, my heart is enlarged. Salvation comes to me. He says, I have answers for my enemies. I walk in liberty. My witness is certain. I'm comforted and I'm given life. I receive mercy. I am dealt with well. Don't you want to be dealt with well? Can't you just get under your skin when someone doesn't have manners when they deal with you, or they don't think about you when they're decision making? I've been guilty of that myself. I want to be dealt with well. The author here tells us that because of the Word of God, I am dealt with well. He says, my affliction is turned to good. I have hope. I am not ashamed. I am wise. He said he knows more than his teachers and the ancients. He doesn't say that in a conceited way. He says, because of what's in Scripture, I know more than my teachers and because of the ancients. He says, I'm restrained from evil. My path is lit. I fear God's judgment. My eyes fell from seeking God, or my eyes fell not from seeking God's word. He said, I pant for God's commandments. I weep for those who disobey God's law. I am consumed by zeal. I know the truth. My heart is in awe. I am filled with praise. Those are just the ones I pulled out of the 176 verses. I don't think you need any other reason for me to tell you that what's this going to do for me. Well, that's 30. That's 30 things that it's going to do for you. That's pretty good, isn't it? I mean, I buy something because it does 3 things for me. You know? Like fried chicken. Fills me up. Helps me sleep. Gives Brother Rye jokes. There's 3 good reasons for fried chicken. 30 things here, just in one chapter of the Bible. There's 66 books in the Bible. 30 things here in just this one chapter, in just one book. Obviously the longest book in the Bible, or the longest chapter in the Bible. Both. But there's 30 right there. What's it going to do for me? No wonder the author can say, those who are in the Word are blessed. It does a lot for us. The third thing question I want to answer is, who needs the Bible? Does the lost people need, do sinners need the Bible? Do just Christians need the Bible? Do only preachers need to be reading the Bible? Do only teachers need to be reading the Bible? Who needs the Bible? The obvious answer there is, everybody needs the Bible, sure. But there's another way to answer that question, to be more specific than just when it does get us back to everyone. We can look at this author's life as he describes it here in Psalm 119 and see where he needed the Bible. From there, you can answer then who needs the Bible. He says he is engaged in a real battle with his enemies. Verse number 98, verse number 139, verse number 157. And these enemies included the princes of Israel, He said they reproach him, they persecute him, they are proud, they are wicked, they are double-minded, they regard God's law as empty, they are treacherous. And in opposition to him, the psalmist stands on the word of God and prays for the work of God in salvation or deliverance. Any of you face people like that? Do you face people who are a reproach or who persecute you or who are proud or are wicked, who are double-minded? We all do, don't we? We all face people that are this way. You need the Bible. The psalmist also says that I'm engaged in a battle with myself. You ever battle yourself? You ever battle the old man? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And then we have Romans chapter 8 that says that God will not only justify us, but he will glorify us. There's one big problem there. I know what the one big problem is. Some of that's future tense. And it is as good as done in heaven, but here I am still on earth. And while I've been made a new creature, I'm still walking around in my old flesh. People who knew me before I was saved only remember me as the sinner that I really still am, right? I'm a saved sinner, but I'm still a sinner. In God's eyes, I'm no longer. But all those things are still in my mind. Wouldn't it be nice if your brain got wiped when you got saved? You couldn't remember sinning. Couldn't remember sin. You could just start all over again. Really, we get that because the Holy Spirit moves in and we become a new person inside and we get new desires. But daily, there's still the old desire. An old Indian chief was saved, and the missionary that saved him, he came back a couple months, and he said, "How's it going, chief?" And he said, "It's not good." He said, "What do you mean it's not good? Didn't you get saved?" And he said, "Well, I did." He said, "But now it's like two dogs fight inside this Indian." He said, "There's a white dog and there's a black dog." He said, "The white dog wants to do good, and the black dog wants to do evil." And he said, "Well, which one wins?" He said, "Whichever one the chief says sick them to." It's that way in our lives, isn't it? We get the TV cartoons of the white angel on this shoulder and the little black angel, not angel, little devil on this shoulder, right? You've seen those commercials or cartoons, and this guy's telling him to do this, and this guy's telling him to do this, and whichever one he picks, the other one pops and goes away. I wish I could make my old desires just pop and go away sometimes. You know how you can do that? With the Word. Satan gets on your back. The old man gets on your back. People in your life get on your back. You go to the Word. Jesus was tempted 40 days in the wilderness. You know what his only defense was? I mean, I'm talking about Jesus, the Son of God. God in the flesh, come and live among man. And I'm thinking, you, Jesus, shoot lightning bolts out of your hand and stop temptation if you wanted to. You could call down Gabriel. Gabriel could whip somebody. You're Jesus. You're all powerful. But you know what he relied on? Word. He said, "As it is written, Satan, you're not to tempt the Lord your God." You know what the Bible says about battling with Satan, how to do it? The Word. It says for us to resist the devil. Not to fight the devil. Not to try to overcome the devil. Not to feel like we're bigger or badder or can do more than the devil. It's just to resist. And we resist by relying upon the Word. You know what happens when you try to fight the devil? He'll whip you. Every time. He's stronger than you are. He's not stronger than the God you serve. And you have the authority to stop Satan. But you have to work within that authority, which is with the Word of God. Best illustration I ever heard of that was Barney Fife. Down at Checkpoint Chickie. Y'all seen this? Barney's stopping the truckers who are going too fast down the hill. What was the name of the hill? I can't remember the name of the hill. Tanner's Grave? Turner's Grave? I knew somebody would know. Real important things in the sermon, you know. I had to stop for that and make sure somebody knows. Barney Fife's at the bottom of the hill, and he's trying to stop these truckers that have to get their speed up to get up the next hill, you know. And Andy said, "Barney, just leave him alone." He said, "No, you give them 5 miles per hour, they'll take 10. Right? And he stopped them. And you think of this great big 18-wheeler, that huge engine, thousands of pounds of load behind them, barreling down this hill, and there's little old Barney Fife. And he's standing out there going. And what happens? They stop. They're not happy, but they stop. Is Barney Fife just so powerful in his hand that he could stop an 18-wheel truck with a man pushing the gas coming down a hill? No. He's got this little badge on that gives him the authority to make them stop. The law is his authority. You and I aren't powerful enough to alone overcome some of the things we face in our life, but we tote with us the authority of Almighty God that we can use to overcome the things that we face in life. This psalmist says here, I am engaged in a battle within myself. In verse 6, he says, this brings me shame. In verse 10, he says, because of this, I'm in danger of wandering. And you may not think you are this morning. We're all in danger of wandering. You're in danger of getting out of church, of getting out of the Word, getting out of your prayer life, of falling back into your old ways of sin. You're in danger of that. He says in verse number 11, because of this, I'm vulnerable to sin. In verse number 25, he says, my soul clings to the dust. In verse 28, he says, this battle within myself brings me heaviness. He says, because of this battle within myself, in verse 29, I'm vulnerable to lying. Lying? I've not told a lie since I was a child. I'm not going to lie. Get in the fix. You feel like you can handle it. You watch and see if you won't tell a lie. It'll happen to you. Verse 36, he says, I battle covetousness. Verse 67 and 176, he says, at times I've gone astray. Verse 81, he says, my soul faints. Verse 147, he says, I cry for help because of this battle within myself that I'm engaged in. He is in a battle with self and he needs deliverance. Anybody like that here today? Anybody like that here today? Maybe you got two dogs fighting within you. Maybe you're facing some people that you don't know what to do with. You need the Word. An answer to those. When you ask who needs the Word, the answer is right here in the Word. And it's those who deal with the same thing that the author does here. I love this saying. And I don't know where it came from. You may know the author of this saying, but they said, the Bible that is falling apart usually belongs to a life that isn't. You feel like your life's falling apart? We all do it sometimes. What's your Bible look like? You get to reading your Bible so much that it's falling apart. Some of you got new Bibles for Christmas and you're embarrassed right now. Oh, man. Mine looks new. You find a Bible that's fallen apart, usually you'll find someone whose life is not. Get in your Word. Read through that thing so you have to replace it every year. Mark it up. Make good notes in there. And I'll add this, and it's another good quote. I don't know who said it, but to you young people in here who say, oh, the Bible's for adults. It's not the case. Someone said, if you carry a Bible when you are young, it will carry you when you're old. Well, that's wonderful, isn't it? It's the truth. Not very old, but I found that to be the case just in my life. I'd like to finish like this. I want you to get back into the Word in your life. I've answered three big questions that maybe we have about why is it so important. Those, how can I use it? How can it help me? Those kind of things. Or who needs it? Now I want to give you the how. You say, okay, well, you want me to get back in the Word, but how? What do I do? What do I leave here today and do? What is the practical end of this thing? Let me give you just a few short things on how. One is to study the Bible. Not just read the Bible, but to study the Bible. If you're like me in school, never learned to study. I don't blame that on my teachers. I blame that on myself. See, I was just so smart. Some of you teachers in here, just your back chilled up right there, didn't it? I was one of those, I thought I was so smart, I didn't need to study. I figured if I didn't learn it in the class, then I failed the test, it was the teacher's fault, not my fault, right? I'm joking. I'm being facetious, all right? Some of you are looking mad at me right now. I love teachers. Last week, I offended the pianist, and she didn't come back this week. Did y'all realize that? Man. But I never really got a hold of how to study until I got in college, and I iced my way through high school. But in college, you had to study, and thankfully, I had a very smart wife. And I was married right in once I started college, and she taught me how to study, and she was upset with me some nights trying to get that information in my brain. I think sometimes she just wanted to cut my head open and shove it down in there. But through that, I learned what it meant to study God's Word. It's not just to read it, take things that just, you know, what might be there just right on the surface. I mean, we can all read John 3:16, and that's helpful to us and good to us. But you get to reading in the Minor Prophets, and you'll fall asleep after about three verses if you don't realize what you're doing and what you're dealing with there. It's important that we study the Word. Psalm 119 says that. God's purpose in giving His Word was to point us to Himself. In verse number 2, the Bible says of Psalm 119, we are to seek Him through His Word. And then it finishes from verse 2 up through verse number 10 and saying that seeking is to be done wholeheartedly. Not just a brisk read through a chapter before you go to work, but an actual study of the Word of God. Verse number 6 says we are to look into His Word. Verse number 7 says we are to learn its judgments. So study the Bible. That's how. Second thing is to obey the Bible. See, we got this thing of knowing a lot of this stuff, but not doing anything with it. So it's not just not well enough to know and to study and know. But it's important that we obey what the Bible says. This duty of obedience is given to us here in Psalm 119. Walking in the law of the Lord and in His ways. Verse number 1, verse number 3. Keeping His testimonies. Verse number 2 and verse number 129. Taking heed to our ways to make sure they correspond to the teachings of God's Word. That's a tough one. Verse number 9. Does your life line up with what the Bible says your life ought to be? Third thing we can do. We can study, we can obey, and then store the Bible. Hide the Bible in your heart. They may someday get all our Bibles. Burn them all, get rid of them, and stamp the Bible out of existence. But you know where they can never get it from? Right here. They can never take that away from you. Just can't do it. If they took it away from some of us, they couldn't take it away from all of us. They can't brainwash everybody, right? They, you know they, them. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, I promise. Store the Word of God. We're to store it in our minds, treasure it in our affections with the confidence that it will fortify us against sin. And it will. When you're tempted to sin, you're not going to be toting the Bible. Usually if you're in your church clothes and toting the Bible, the last thing that's going to happen to you is a temptation to sin. It's when you're not toting your Bible and you're off doing what it is you do every day that you are going to be tempted to sin. Have the Bible with you at all times, stored away in your memory so that it can just come to mind at that time of temptation to sin. Verse number 11. G. Campbell Morgan summarizes that verse in this way. He says, the best book in the best place for the best purpose. This is the best book. Your heart or your mind is the best place. And the best purpose is to keep you from sinning. And then declare the Bible. Don't try to obey it and store it away, but declare it. Let it come into you, but then let it go out of you. Declare the Bible. Studying the Word of God will cause our hearts to burn within us. Luke chapter 24. In such a way that we won't be able to keep it to ourselves. You ever had something that you knew that you just couldn't keep to yourself? Right? Hopefully it wasn't one of those things I told you in confidence. Nah, I don't tell secrets much. But sometimes we just get a piece of information that we just got to tell somebody. Let the Word of God be that way. Declare the Bible. Be anxious to share its message of salvation with those who don't know Christ. And then be able to share its teachings with other Christians. Oh, I love Christian debate. Peaceful debate. But we're not all going to agree on everything in Scripture. There are some things we need to agree on to at least go to church together. We're not always all going to agree on everything. That's the wonder of being able to declare the Bible, is to be able to stand up and give an answer to any man of the hope that's within us. And I like it. I don't want to argue with you, but I love sitting down hearing your point of view, taking it in and comparing it against my own point of view or sharing my point of view with you. What a wonderful thing that is. Wonderful. Sometimes I pick a fight with some of you. I do that to Dad more than anybody. I'll tell Dad, what do you think about such and such? And he'll give me a 5-point thesis on why I'm wrong. And I'll say, yeah, I know, I agreed with you, but I just wanted to hear you say it again. Declare the Bible. And then rejoice over the Bible. Rejoice over the Word of God and delight in it. Verse 14, 15, 16. Don't miss the connection the psalmist makes in those three verses. The rejoicing of verse 14 with the delighting of verse 16 are connected by the meditating that is there in verse number 15. As we reflect on what the Word of God is and what it does, we will find that the rejoicing and delighting are inseparable. So let's get back to the Bible. So important that we get back to the Bible. Study it, obey it, declare it, and then rejoice in it.
Thank you for listening today. If you have questions about this ministry or would like to know more about becoming a Christian, please contact us. We can be reached online at harpethbaptist.org or by phone at 615-378-1136. Please join us again next week for another Bible sermon from Harpeth Baptist Church.